planet is a lonely speck in the great cosmic dark.
Hi, this is Chrissy.
And I'm Marie.
And you're listening to Alt Pop Repeat,
a show where we get into the nitty gritty around counterculture, alternative culture, and sync it up with what?
With pop culture.
Yeah, man. That's what we do.
There we go.
High five. Yes.
We are back. And we are episode 3, my friends.
We're back and ready to attack with another hit smash with Matthew Santoro. Wah, wah, wah,
wah. Okay. It's like, okay.
Right. We're having way too much fun doing this show. Tell me about Matthew Santoro.
Well, Matt started off, he started as an accountant and then became a YouTuber that did like amazingly successful. And he's been doing his show for years now. I don't even know how. It's been long enough, but Matt, and he's done extremely well, and now he lives in LA and is doing his thing and killing it in the YouTube space. And now he's, you know, his YouTube videos talk more about like creepy fun facts, stuff like that. They're educational, they're fun, they're really colorful, they're bright, and they're quick. They're not like too long. They're good little info nuggets.
He's an interesting character. I only really knew him before because of his YouTube channel. And then I met him very briefly at the Canadian Screen Awards. There's like a whole digital component to that event.
Right.
And I met him at that. At the time, I had a photo booth that we were running, an animated GIF photo booth at the Canadian Screen Awards. And so he was a part of it. Really nice guy. And I had always known of him through YouTube because I used to have an old show that talked about YouTubers and what people are doing online. And it was really nice to have a chance to sit down and talk with him because I never had... You don't really know people. You just get to see them through YouTube, and then when they're in their personality, they're always on.
Totally.
So whenever you said we were going to be talking with Matthew Santoro, I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I was entirely sold on it. And then when we sat down, we started chatting with him. He was such a profoundly interesting person, how his life experiences had led up to this point that provided him some sort of spiritual awakening.
Right.
And... which is also kind of what the show is all about today.
Well, that today's theme is spirituality.
Oh, I was going to say let's try this. One, two, three. Today's show is about
spirituality.
Awakenings.
Spirituality. The show is about spirituality.
And awakenings.
Yeah, both.
Okay, let's do it again.
So today's show is all about spirituality. Episode 3.
Episode 3.
So yeah, Matt, the one thing we know about Matt, well, when we gave him some idea or some concepts that we wanted to talk about on APR, I'll pop repeat. That's our acronym if you guys didn't know that.
APR Sync.
So we asked him to talk about a whole bunch of different topics, and spirituality was one of them, because we've kind of seen now Matt's been, when we started and interviewed him, he was kind of going, he was in the YouTube space doing all these like awesome, creepy videos that have done extremely well. And then we've noticed now that there's been new progression of Matt, and he's openly talking about his connection to spirituality and what that means to him. And then has been talking about it in YouTube. So that really worked well for us. And now I think he's talking a little bit more about it and he's open about it. So we learned a lot about Matt on another side than just being this amazing entertainment YouTuber that does great videos. He's got this totally other side to him that like really, really speaks to a different community. And it speaks to a lot of people that have gone through either spiritual awakenings or they've gone through some form of, you know, transition in their life because something major has happened to them.
Yeah.
And he talks to that.
It was, and he went through some major stuff, and he'll talk about it in the show. You'll hear a lot about that. What I really got from what he was sharing was we're going through a period where spiritual awakenings are happening right, left, and center. So to hear Matthew Santoro talk about it at such a level, openly and honestly, I thought was really refreshing.
So what we usually do, and maybe what we do now, is we'll roll into a clip,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get to know Matt, mm-hmm. and then in the end, we'll sync it up.
Hi, Hi, my name is Matthew Santoro. I'm Canadian, I'm bald, and I'm a YouTuber. Okay, that's all you really need to know. Bye. No, just kidding. But for real, you guys have been watching my videos and following my journey for years now, and you probably think you know me pretty well. But the truth is, there's a lot more to the story that you don't know. So my story, for those that don't know, is I started off being an accountant, and my whole life I had money. Like, I was never really broke. Like, I've always been good with saving my money, even when I didn't have money. Mm-hmm. But I used to be an accountant. I got my Master of Accountancy degree, did that, was miserable doing that. And then I lost my job. I got laid off. And that ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me, because for a whole year after that, I had been doing YouTube before that. And I decided, okay, you know what? If I'm facing that amount of risk with a master's degree and I can just lose my job, then I'm just going to try to take the same amount of risk working for myself. And I gave myself a year to make my YouTube career take off.
Nice.
And after a year, it took off at almost exactly 1 year. And it was very clearly what I was meant to do. And my career took off after that. And I've just been doing that ever since.
And tell us more about what you're doing right now. Let's get all the administrative out, because we're going to get deep.
Yeah.
We're going to go deep.
We're going to go deep.
We're going to go deep.
We're diving into the pool.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny too, because there was a reason I brought that up and I completely blanked. It's all good though.
Tell us about exactly what you're doing right now. Tell us about your channel.
Right.
And
so I started off making comedy sketches, really. And then I started doing infotainment videos, which are like top tens and things of that nature. And through that, I discovered basically, that's why I was getting to this. So through that, I got all the things that people think they want, like the money and the fame and all of that. And then when I got that, I had never been more depressed than when I was making the most amount of money that I had been making my whole life. But it's interesting, because even when I was making all that money, and this is why I brought this up, so we were going back to the abundance thing and scarcity. Even when I was making six figures a month, I lived in scarcity. In my mind, it was going to go away at any minute. It was going to go away at any minute, and this can't last forever. That is true. Nothing can last forever, but the universe will always provide. God will always provide. We'll always be fine if we believe that. If you don't believe that, then it won't be true. Like, we make our own realities. So whatever we choose to believe will become our reality. And I say our reality because we're co-creating our existence right now. Mm-hmm. Like, us all being here, like, you are God, I am God, you are God. Here's my logic for it. So if you were an omnipotent being with literally infinite amount of time, and you were just sitting there with all this time, and you were benevolent, and you had nothing to do, at some point you're going to get a little bored, I would imagine. So you're going to come up with a scenario where you can spice things up a little bit. And therefore, you're going to create a scenario where maybe you play a role, and you trick yourself into thinking that you're that thing. And so maybe you create an earth, and you go on that earth, and you are asleep, and you forget that you're God, so that you can live a life of a human being and experience all the vicissitudes of life and all the ups and downs. And at one point, we're all going to wake up, mm-hmm, and realize that we were God the whole time, but we just don't know it right now. Some of us do. Some of us have the belief. Some of us are working towards that awakening, but most people will not realize that until they die, and then they were returned to source energy and they realize that they were God the whole time. But we are, in my opinion, God fractured into a trillion different pieces, all talking to each other, all co-creating this reality right now. Yeah. And if anyone out there doesn't believe in spirituality and all of that, then I can explain it from a scientific point of view. Okay. So That's the spiritual. Scientifically, have you ever heard of the double slit experiment?
No. Yes. That's, yeah, quantum physics.
Yeah, I know you have.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Chris is like, I definitely have.
Like, geek.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's geek out.
So let's geek out. So in 1803, a scientist named Thomas Young created something called the double slit experiment. And for those of you that aren't familiar with this, I highly recommend looking up at a minimum YouTube videos. It's super fascinating. But essentially, what he did was he took a board of some sort, put a slit in the middle of it, and shot light photons through it. And they acted as particles would, which they you shot through a slit. Therefore, they lined up on the other side of that wall. There was a wall behind it, and it lined up in a slit formation. Then he did two slits, and he shot it through. And they each lined up as if you're shooting like paintballs through. Like, he noticed that. But then he thought, okay, well, I want to see exactly what's going on. So he set up an observation device to see how these light photons or particles are acting when they go through. But then they started acting like waves, and they were interacting with each other, and they were bouncing off each other.
Interference patterns.
So almost in a way where if you were to drop two stones in a pond, those ripples would bounce off of each other. Well, that's what was happening. These light photons, simply through the act of observance, were acting differently. Took the observation device away, they acted like particles again. Put it back, they acted like waves. So literally, through the act of simply observing our reality, we change our reality.
Interesting.
Right, and the question is, I actually asked a good friend of mine, and I've had this debate where we've talked about, now, is that a conscience? Is a particle deciding to move? Is it a conscious choice to do that because of the observer? Is that a spiritual thing? And some scientists, I've actually asked a friend that's on the science side and is, no, that's not. And it's not because of that, and you can't prove spirituality to it. And I was like, that's interesting. So you have some scientists saying that, quantum scientists will say, no, spirituality doesn't exist in it. And then you have other physicists saying that, yes, it is one together. Like What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole. I know you've probably watched that. Oh, I got to send it to you.
Okay.
The same conversations, but they really start the show off in the movie about how spirituality and history and everything else comes together and how it is kind of one now, but you're still getting that divide. It's not become like one sink or one common understanding that people believe. You have an alt side and a pop side that are still fighting if they really are spirituality and science being one thing on a quantum level.
Yes.
And then what does that mean? That's a huge question.
Yeah.
What that means then.
So the answer is always the middle path.
Right?
The Buddha taught that the middle path is the path to happiness. So I wouldn't say that anything absolutely is or absolutely isn't.
Right.
The answer to me would be somewhere in the middle, whatever that is. So I don't believe that, for example, only science is the answer or only religion is the answer. I think the reality of nature and the reality of reality can be explained through both. You know, I really think that, you know, and that can be extrapolated into very relative things that are happening nowadays, especially in the United States, with how divided things are. You know, you're either conservative or you're liberal. That's it. There is no in between.
Right.
And if I'm a liberal and you're a conservative, you're an idiot and you're wrong. And vice versa. You think I'm an idiot and I'm wrong. And we're both wrong. That's the thing. We're both wrong.
You have to agree to a disagree.
Right. Because, you know, we're both wrong because the answer is always going to be in the middle. The extremes are always bad, period, no matter what it is. Here's the thing. When it comes to talking about like political beliefs and stuff like that, I'm not ego identified with any of this stuff. So I am fine with talking about it. And mm-hmm. if someone gets mad, I just know that I'm coming from a good place. But when it comes to I put like sexuality, I put politics, I put religion, all of these things, I never talk about another person unless they're present and I have their permission. Because for sexuality, for example, like if someone's gay, I'm not comfortable talking about them being gay if they're not out yet, because that's a big no-no in society.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing. If you're a Trump supporter and I know you're a Trump supporter, I'm not gonna come out and blow up your spot because I'm not trying to create drama for you.
No.
And it's same thing with religion. I think we need more of that in the world. A lot more of, is what I'm saying okay? Will it create any harm?
Yeah.
And I don't think we do enough auditing of ourselves.
Yeah.
And I do that sometimes, like my self-auditing system is set up in a way where I do question, is what I'm about to say going to create the most good? And if not, just don't say it. Just don't say it. Like I'm not ever here to talk about anything unless it's really going to in some way awaken someone or increase the general good, you know?
Yeah, I believe that. So, and it's, I really want to finish the concept of hate, because it's a really powerful word, and about self-awareness and being aware of the words that you say and the impact that it has on the world, on yourself and on others. And hate was the first word that taught me about the power of the words. Is words, basically your thoughts and the things that come out of your mouth are essentially magic, if you want to think of it as magic. I like to think about everything as magical. Yeah. But it has impact, it has weight, it has gravity. So if I come out of the world and I say, I hate something, I feel like that's a negative energy. I'm creating a low vibrational pull. It's not focusing on the things that I love, and it's not creating a space. So if I'm saying, and also I went through a period where I was saying things about myself that I hated, and the power of saying, I hate the way that I have a belly, or I hate my body, or I hate, and the impact of that on me and how it developed into eating disorders and different mental health issues. So I think we just need to be aware. And as you self-audited yourself, you have to be careful about the words that you put out in the world. Everything that you say can have an effect on other people. Is using the word hate, is that going to cause negativity for myself, or is it going to harm other people? And I think it's, we have to learn how to work in a, I don't know, say more powerful things.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the word is magic. You've read the Four Agreements.
I've read the Four Agreements.
No.
I have, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, that's the very first thing. So the Four Agreements, I read a lot. And one of my favorite books is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And anyone out there that hasn't read this book, it's a relatively short book.
And didn't it start by like it's a native ideology first.
So right. he's one of the last Toltecs, sort of a long lineage of these, like you said, but it's sort of spiritual, sort of, it's kind of hard to explain what they are.
Or almost, I'll pull them up.
Yeah, please. But he's one of the last Toltecs, and The Four Agreements, best-selling book, best-selling author. I have other books by him as well. But The Four Agreements are, number one, your word is magic, like you said, and always
be impeccable with your words.
Be impeccable with your word. That's the first agreement. And then the second and third are never make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take anything personally.
Yeah,
perfect.
And always do your best.
And the fourth and final is always do your best. And if you live by those four things, you'll have a fantastic life. Okay. The two things that impacted me the most were don't take things personally. And what was the other thing I said?
Don't make assumptions. Yes,
never make assumptions. And don't take things personally. Those two absolutely transformed my life, because I realized that I was definitely taking a lot of things personally and definitely making a lot of assumptions in life. And for anyone out there, if you start auditing your thoughts, you will be shocked at how much crap you assume and how much you take personally. And you'll start to realize that you're creating a lot of your own suffering through those two things. And we've all had moments in life where we make an assumption and then later we find out that it was completely wrong.
Yeah.
And then you feel silly, but then we continue to make assumptions in life. But now, whenever somebody does something negative to me, I never take it personally, because the only time someone can say something nasty to you or do an evil, quote unquote, evil deed or quote unquote bad thing is if they themselves are suffering.
Exactly. I agree
with
you. When
somebody's full of venom and toxicity, that venom has to spill over at some point because they're just so full of it. And that's when what we call evil happens. And when that happens, all I have is compassion for those people. Like I don't look at anything, I don't take anything personally, because as long as I know that what I'm doing, what I've done has come from a place of love, then how can I take anything personally? If I have done something out of a place of ego or evil or hate, then yeah, absolutely I'm open to criticism. I still think I'm open to criticism at all points, of course, but I just don't take it personally at that point, because I know that I'm only responsible for the clarity and integrity of what I'm saying. I'm not responsible for your perception, because if I say something, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. How can I be responsible for 7.5 billion perceptions? I can't. Yeah. So all that I can be responsible for is the clarity and the meaning behind what I say.
And doing your best. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, I think doing your best to try to keep, you know, 1, 2, and 3 alive, and then doing your best at everything you do, putting your best foot forward, doing the best you possibly can. You know, you don't break yourself down. Instead, you build yourself up and go, you know what? At least I tried.
I wanted to ask you, Matt, How did you step into the space of being so mindful and aware? What brought you to this?
Yeah. So three things. One, I'm stealing all your water. So that's thank amazing. You. I'm so
Enjoy.
Thirsty today. Okay. That's number one.
Hydration is important.
Yeah. Number two, I want to quickly, I hit my peak around 2014 to 2017. And then as everyone in the world's career does, eventually things start to slow down and cool off a little bit. And my ego took a big hit with that. And I came to the realization the other day, after taking a lot of time off social media, that I don't need to have 1,000 retweets on a tweet or 1,000 responses to a tweet. If I send something out that is out of a place of love and it's meant to help people, and one person responds and says, hey, just so you know, like, that changed my life, or that helped me tremendously and I needed to hear that, then that's enough. If you impact one other person, it's just that our ego gets involved and it's not enough because the numbers aren't high enough. Like, that's all crap you got to get over at some point. And that's coming from somebody that has experienced the high of highs of success on YouTube and the lows of depression and anxiety. And so that kind of rolls nicely into your question of what your question was. How did I get into mindfulness?
And how did you find yourself on that path? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. So I had always needed acceptance in my life, and I always needed to be for attention and things of that nature. And I don't think needing attention is inherently wrong. And I don't think the desire for wanting more and to improve is necessarily wrong, but it's the selfish desire of those things that causes suffering. And there's a difference there. So the Buddha taught that all selfish desire is what causes suffering, that all suffering can be traced back to either attachment and or selfish desire. And so for me, I had a lot of selfish desire and attachment to the numbers. And when that started to go away, and there were multiple things that happened, and I, you know, we don't have to go into all the things, but like, there were people that came into my life that were very toxic, and they hurt me tremendously. And there were people in the YouTube community that there was a lot of drama that happened over a course. This is all over the course of like 3 or 4 years. And then my numbers went down. And all of those things sent me into a really just angry, crappy place where I was just really depressed and anxious every day. And one day I woke up and I just thought, I can't do this anymore, and I need to just switch something up. And my friend introduced me to meditation.
Nice.
And that was a big shout out to Evan from Toronto, Evan 11, great rapper, great guy. And it was him that he showed me the door. He showed me the door for sure. But you know, as with every awakened being in history, all that they can do is show you the door. All that Christ can do is show you the door. All that the Buddha can do is show you the door. All that Krishna, Muhammad, anybody can do is just show you the door. It's up to you to walk through it. Nobody can give you the answers. They can only show you. You know, the Buddha said, when I point to the moon, don't confuse my finger with the moon. In other words, religion and these things, they're all just signposts saying that's the way, but no one can actually take you on that boat. You have to cross the water to the other side yourself. So for me, meditation was a big part of it. Mindfulness, obviously. I tried medication for a while, which helped get my brain back into a state of equilibrium, because I'd been so depressed for so long. All that my brain knew was to fire out negative chemicals, and so I was in this funk.
It's a fight or flight mode.
Yeah, and yeah. You program your brain, and my brain was programmed for so long. And it takes a lot of work. Like, for anyone out there, it is absolutely possible to get out of depression and anxiety, but just understand that you've programmed your brain to think that that is normal behavior. So you're just going to get more and more and more of that. And it's going to be a struggle to get out of that. But through that struggle, you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to be a lot stronger for it when you come out the other side. And you will come out the other side. It's just a matter of time, but you have to put in the work.
And now let's talk about intersections of religion and spirituality.
Cool.
So maybe what we should do for our listeners is define kind of, or talk a little bit about, what is spirituality and what is religion? A lot of people, they can be both, and they can be, you can like them individually or separately. So the one stat, and we can talk a little bit more about what they are, but there is a stat that says 1 out of 5 Americans are spiritual but not religious. And this came from the Florida State University and the PRRI in 2017. So reference. Huh. Right. And so here it says a study finds that 29% of Americans are both spiritual and religious. 18% are spiritual but not religious, 22 are not spiritual but religious, and 31 are neither spiritual nor religious. So A, that's a lot of numbers. And B, if you get into a smaller form, 1 in 5 Americans are spiritual but not religious. That's huge.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift that we're seeing in counterculture move into pop culture
now. Would you consider religion?
1 in 5 is a lot.
Dude, would you consider religion being a part of pop culture?
Yeah, I do. I believe that it's in combination in both. I believe that you can be religious and you can be spiritual.
Is it because of Christian rock?
Right, but we should talk about what is spirituality and then what is religion.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. I don't know.
Well, you're the spiritual on this side. I'm like, you know spirituality. So how do you classify spirituality, Marie?
Okay, well, there's... You asking my opinion on something, you know it's gonna go long. Okay, spirituality and religion. I do think that back in the day, there was no distinction between both of them. I think that you had to be spiritual in order to be religious. Like that was it. It wasn't like, this is religion, this was it. We believe in some higher being. We believe that we are created from higher beings, possibly aliens, as we have discovered from earlier recordings with other people. But nowadays, there's a big distinction between it, because I think there's an apprehension to be considered as religious, because if you are religious, there is a negative stereotype that says that you are a zealot.
Honestly, when we look at like religion, they always say that religion is a set of texts and of practices and beliefs and are shared by a community. Spirituality, you can look at, is shared by a community, but I think it's like finding of oneself and understanding of oneself a little bit better. It doesn't mean in religion you can't find oneself in it too, but it's usually shared as a community, as a group. And it says through, and again, this is just looking up, There's terminology with it. Yeah. But I think spirituality means different things to different people.
It does. It's a bit loosey-goosey.
Right.
And in terms of like, when you compare it to religion, when religion is more like formal education and spirituality is more like, what is it, Montessori school? Like you kind of feel your way out and you learn on your own thing. Doesn't mean that you're... There's some basic tenets that are shared between it. You believe in, say, spirit guides. Some people may believe in spirit guides or... But I mean, whenever you're really dealing in a Christian context, you might believe in angels, or you might. So there is a translation that happens between the two. And I think one is deeply rooted in the other. But I do think that when it comes down to spirituality, yes, a little bit looser. It's kind of self-guided in terms of finding an inner peace, which I do think is actually shared with religion. But with religion, formalized text, I agree with you on that. But I do think that there's like, if I go out and I'm like, I say to someone, I'm spiritual, they're like, oh yeah, so tell me about your meditation practice, or I have this really good app for like finding your perfect crystals for like the moon phases, versus me going out in the world saying I'm Christian, and then people are like, are you evangelical? And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, like at all. Like But I do think it comes with a certain stereotype that's in people's minds just because of the state of the world that we're in.
Yeah. And why do you think like that we're people are going towards spirituality, because we're seeing here that more people are going to spirituality and not religion. Is that the pop culture? That's our counterculture shift that we're seeing, is that people are saying, I'm not a fan, or not, I don't follow organized religion, but instead I'll follow something spiritual that I connect to on a one-on-one basis. And I'm not going to say that's their type of religion, but that's something they're guided towards. So they use words like source, you know, and things like that, maybe instead of using the word God. So are we now, we're seeing, is that the counterculture of modern spirituality, is it becoming a new form of religion? Is it becoming something that's different for us and getting people to look at things in different ways, which is awesome, but it doesn't mean that it's excluding religion out of that conversation.
Dude, 100 aligned, I am in it with you. I feel it. It's true. And I think it, the rise of spirituality is very scary for anybody who is an extremist within the religion. And that piece scares me.
Well, and you can be an extreme spiritual person too, where you don't talk to anybody that maybe doesn't, you know, that's not aligning to your ideology. It can go the other way as well.
Don't even get me into that, because I have, like, you know how I feel about that world. Like, I'm a bit of a skeptic, considering how much I like it.
But that's not bad, though. You can still ask questions and things that you like and believe. Mm-hmm. I think that's healthy.
And I do agree with you. So there is a distinction. This is a healthy conversation. And I'm really curious to know what other people think. I want to know what our listeners are thinking in the terms of what the distinction between spirituality and religion is, because it is a big one. And it's like you're saying, it's on the rise and we're seeing it. But I also kind of like, I do find it a little refreshing. Like Kanye, I really want to talk about Kanye.
Let's go there, because he is one of our pop culture sinks of looking at somebody who's, you know, is pretty much called himself Jesus, and he's used Jesus and other references, but in a spiritual way.
Jesus.
But this also moves into our conversation of, you know, like, he's saying he's having like some spiritual awakening, which is fine. You can, Kanye, but then some people would say that he's freaking nuts. So it's a mental health issue. So which one is it? Is it one or the other, or is it both?
I don't think you can have a spiritual awakening. And people don't understand it and they will want to put it in a box. And so they're like, oh, he's just acting very atypical for Kanye. I'm like, who the fuck do you know? Like, how do you know what Kanye is? And how do you know how Kanye is going to act? How do you know this man? Like, how are you going to go out there and say that Kanye is having a nervous breakdown? You don't know Kanye. You're not buddies with Kanye. Kanye, and I say this a lot of times to people too, I was like, don't forget Kanye songs. Jesus walks. Right?
So true.
Hello? That was like one of his very first hits ever.
Yeah.
And it was all about... So Kanye has always had a deep-rooted religious and spiritual connection, and that has always been present in his music in one way or another. And he's explored different topics in different ways, but religion is something he's just coming back to. So no, I don't think he's crazy. I think that he is living his life on a public platform, and some people are just trying to understand it, and they will say it's a mental health issue. Maybe it is. I don't know. I guess what, guys? I don't know Kanye.
We don't.
I would like to know Kanye. I do like to think that somehow I have a relationship with Kanye, because I kind of look like Kim Kardashian, like not like a lot, but like enough that people would be like, wow. If you look like a celebrity, you look like Kim Kardashian. And I think it's because she's Armenian. And I think that's the only reason why. But you know what? Like, they're like, you're a prettier version of Kim. Like, I don't want to talk about myself right now, like, a lot. But, I mean, based on the fact that I basically am like Kim's twin, and we're talking about Kanye, I feel like I am an authority on it. Just by, you know, by virtue of my relationship with Kim, which is very close, as you can tell.
Well, and when... I think with Kanye, he looks at things like, he did an interview with David Letterman on Netflix when he did the My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman show, and talks about, you know, mental health, and he talks a little bit about his process of where that goes. So I think there's a lot. Kanye's a really, really, I think, artistic, smart, you know, maybe not always well spoken. I think he's got some great ideas, but the way that he puts those ideas out into the world by talking and through speeches and things like that, they're not coming out the right way. I think he's got some great ideas about like one love and like having community. And I think he's very spiritual on that side, and he wants to make a shift in a world and a change. But when he speaks, it really says it comes out the wrong way. He uses blunders, or is trying to make examples to things that aren't really that connected or really great connections to show what he's saying, unfortunately. But if you look through all of it and look at Kanye, then you go, wow, this is a real guy going through something like a maybe mental health or going through a form of awakening. And I don't think he's trying to do any harm. He's trying to do the opposite of it, but he doesn't know how to really say that.
You're being really generous.
I'm trying to be. I also really love Kanye, but I also don't like his ego. I think his ego is freaking huge, but I also love his art.
I also think his ego is what makes him incredibly and absolutely interesting. Like when you're coming on and you're saying things like I invented leather sweatpants, and I'm like, when he said that, I was like, what a bizarre thing to say. And then what am I seeing on the street? Like streetwear, leather sweatpants. Or yeah. He had another thing. He had a tweet about a giant, like, where can I buy like a marble conference table? Like, he just has these moments that are just so off kilter, but I love that he lives out loud.
Yes.
I also appreciate his artistic spirit, because on one of his first albums, the entire album is really based upon vocals. The beats and everything are based upon layers and layers of vocals, which is so clever. Like, artistically, I think he's a very brilliant mind.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him just being living out loud and living honestly, whether it's for better or for worse. And I agree with you. I don't think he's trying to harm anybody.
So I just looked up a BuzzFeed article that literally has the title
BuzzFeed
says, is this a Kanye West tweet or something a spiritual guru would say?
Oh, yes.
Right. So like, this is perfectly syncing right now.
Can we play this game?
Right. Yeah, we can. So every moment, there are a million miracles happening around you.
Uh-huh.
A flower blossoming, a bird tweeting, a bee humming, a raindrop falling, a snowflake wafting along the clear evening air. There's magic everywhere.
Spiritual guru.
Let me see. Correct.
Hey.
It is.
Do you know why? Because I thought it was a little bit too, there was too many beautiful, subtle greeting card moments in there.
Okay. All right. Next one. When you first wake up, don't hop right on the phone or the internet or even speak to anyone for even up to an hour if possible. Just be still and enjoy your own imagination. It's better than any movie. Kanye West, your spiritual guru. I think that's a Kanye too. It's a Kanye.
Hey-o.
That was a tweet done in April 2018.
I know Kanye.
Ooh, okay. Another one.
Because I'm basically Kim Kardashian. Okay, let's go.
Distraction is the enemy of vision.
Kanye.
I'm going to say spiritual guru.
Ooh, divided.
No, it's a Kanye.
Hey, yo. Yeah, that's my boo.
Yeah. All right. Everything you do in life stems from either fear or love.
Hard. That one's hard. Okay. Spiritual guru.
No, it's Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. Baby. I'm sorry. I never listened to you when you said that.
All right. Last one. We are not responsible for what our eyes are seeing. We are responsible for how we perceive what we are seeing.
I want to say spiritual guru.
Correctamundo. And that is from The Universe Has Your Back.
I only got one wrong.
Gabrielle Bernstein?
Thanks.
I do not know who she is, but thank you for that.
Great insight.
Yes.
Oh, my
God. So there you go.
Fun.
So, right? So Kanye West, I think, has some really great moments. And even if he's going through the spiritual awakening, I don't think sometimes he's saying it the right way or what he's trying to say.
Does he really have to, though?
Maybe, but I feel that he's trying his hardest, and that's why he needs a good PR person. And I know he was looking for one.
Is this a pitch?
No, it's not. No. I would, we'd love to have you on. Well, we can talk too now about this whole conversation of being woke. So what does woke mean to you?
What does woke mean to me?
Yeah. What does woke mean to you?
You're coming at me with like some good
questions. You are the spiritual guru on our side of the team.
I appreciate that.
Well, you do
so
know a lot
much.
About it, because Marie and I, like, legitly, we talk about this all the time together.
Mm-hmm.
So we should just be recording 24/7 and how we interact and have conversations, because these are conversations that we actually have. Like, we look at Jim Carrey, who's, you know, woke now, right? He's my favorite.
As an actor, you play characters, and then if you go deep enough into those characters, you realize that your own character is pretty thin to begin with. You know? And then you suddenly have this separation and go, well, who's Jim Carrey? oh, he doesn't exist, actually. There's just a relative manifestation of consciousness. And then somebody gave him a bunch of ideas. They gave him a name and a religion and a nationality, and he clustered those together into something that's supposed to be a personality.
So where I hang out with Buddha and Krishna and, you know, all those guys.
Are you a Buddhist? Jesus.
I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm whatever you want me to be. You know, it all comes down to the same thing. You're in a loving place or you're in an unloving place. If you're with me right now, we cannot be unhappy. It's not possible.
Jim Carrey is an interesting character because he lived his life trying to be validated in the eyes of others, which is a common thing that people do, especially when you're seeking fame or you're getting into blogging or you want to be an influencer because you're looking to be validated in the eyes of others, which is a very dangerous place to sit because once you get the validation, you realize it actually doesn't make you happy.
Right.
So then he worked on Man in the Moon, that film, where he channeled the spirit of Andy Kaufman. And through that, Jim Carrey earned some understanding that was otherworldly and allowed him to be quote unquote woke, which means he saw the world, in my opinion, if we're going back to the original question, he got to see the world in a way that is bigger than what we know it to be. And I've had an experience like that as well in my life. And I'll save that's like how I got to that for when we're eventually doing a conversation with Joe Rogan, because I need to save some gems.
We
for
are
that
putting
day.
That out there.
Yeah, and of course that out it's there. Gonna happen, dude. It's gonna happen. But so I came into my own spiritual awakening, and I've talked about this a lot with other people, where I looked at the world in one way and I was looking to be validated in another way, and I was attached to outcomes and I was living a very superficial and scared and small life. And then I had this moment and I came out of it and I was like, dude, the world. And if you're listening, dude, I'm talking to you right now.
Yes. Yes, dude, do that.
You listening to us in your car, on your Walkman. Oh shit. What's a Walkman? I don't know. I'm so young.
Get that disc player out.
What's this?
Hey, can A-track? I get my A-track in the back? Someone get my A-track for me, please?
Does anybody have a portable record player?
Do you have a cassette?
A cassette player.
I need to...
Discman,
yeah. Can I have my record player, please? Where's my megaphone? That, like, what is that called?
Gramophone. Hey-o. Okay, so listening, you know, whatever. So to you, you're listening... the world is not what you think it is. The world is a beautiful place. And we here are, and this is the woke, right? Yeah. Watch the Jim Carrey documentary, Man in the Moon, get into his world, understand what it is to be woke. Accept that the world is bigger than you can ever understand. And the only person that stands in your way is you.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree.
And everything in this world is like gifts for you to enjoy and play with. And sometimes bad things happen, but that's a part of your journey. Don't let that ever get you down, because if you have faith and you have trust, and this is kind of where it dances on religion.
Yep.
If you have faith in something bigger than yourself, if you have faith that you are bigger than what you know yourself to be, you can accomplish really great things. And I think you can be present for other people and listen to people and interpret what they're saying in a healthy and productive way. And you can communicate effectively. Like, I think it's just being woke means you stand in this world in a whole other way. And let me tell you, changed my life.
Yeah. I think I look at my, you know, I always talk about my dad too, and my parents in that way.
Awesome.
I told my dad, I'm like, he's been woke since, you know, knowing, you know, not for concentrate juice. You know, we knew in the wokeness being like, don't buy things that have juice on it. So when I was a kid, he would be, you know, cleaning up and doing Earth Day and then not buying juice and buying something that's not from concentrate. You know, he knew that buying those things would not be good for your body, but he already had foresight way before. So I look at him and I'm like, Dad, you've been woke for so long. But now, so the term for woke, though, I think is, I didn't know this until I looked it up, because I thought woke was just something that came out of millennials. Lay that were just me. Like, we're woke, right? So it says woke is a slang term that is easing into the mainstream from a variety of dialect called African American Vernacular English. I did not know that. The acronym's AAVE. So it sounds like an AAV, woke, is often rendered as woke, as in I was sleeping, but now I'm woke. I went, oh, that's really great. Isn't that good? And then now they're saying woke is increasingly used as a byword for social awareness, which makes sense.
Huh.
Yeah. Yo. So I looked up this piece when I watched the Golden Globes this year, the Golden Globes with Ricky Gervais, which I love him. He's like one of my favorite comedians in the world.
He's very funny and very
smart.
He calls out
a crap load of celebrities, and we'll put the clip in too, of calling them out, saying that they think they're woke, but they're not.
Well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and
woo. It's true. It's like, but can you be woke? If you have a lot of money and a crap load of fame, can you still be woke? I'd imagine you can, but you also can have no money and no fame, but you can be extremely woke.
Girl.
Right? Why do you know? But
girl,
it's also
that's
true.
My thing.
Right. But then how, if you do have a lot of money,
that's
sometimes
it.
People are not woke because they don't really see the other side of someone else's life.
Dude.
That's going, hey, there's some social awareness happening.
Girl,
rather
mother,
than rolling around
friend,
in their Lamborghini.
Sister. Chrissy.
Do that.
My love, my girl, my travel spouse. That's another story for another
right,
day.
Yeah. My sister wife.
My sister wife.
Just because you think somebody's woke doesn't mean that you're woke, or if you think you're woke, it doesn't mean that you really are. Like, how do you really gauge wokeness?
And truthfully, it doesn't matter what I think. If you say you're woke and I can be skeptical of you, what doesn't matter? It doesn't change anything. You're still, if you believe to be woke, you're still going to be woke. You put that intention out in the world. I don't have to like believe you. And sometimes, most of the time, I don't.
Well,
like, very few. There's actually a handful of people who, and you don't really, it's kind of like saying you're cool.
That's a good point.
You know, like,
well, no one's like,
cool,
oh, by the way, I'm more woke than you are. Like, that just sounds bad coming out of my mouth.
Whenever I do say to people, I'm actually cooler than you, nobody tends to disagree. So I'd like to put that out there right now.
Now we have this rise of spiritual YouTubers.
Huge. Massive.
Aaron Doherty, he's huge. I actually love Aaron's stuff too. But now it's pop culture's asking for it. You know, we had this counterculture world that's saying spirituality, because we've had like tons of gurus in that area.
Mm-hmm.
There's things called Mind Valley now. You know, there's all these programs.
Gaia.
There's all these programs now that are driven towards, that started in counterculture, because there was tons of counterculture spiritual groups, but people would make fun of them, unfortunately.
Even RuPaul is giving a masterclass in self-awareness. If nobody knows this about RuPaul, RuPaul is also very woke. If we're using this as like a term, like to describe spiritual awakening and being, RuPaul has for a long time said, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
Damn right.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
It's true.
You know, all of his songs, all of his albums, they're all about, you know, believing in yourself, and that if you know you can do it, you can do it. Like, he's very much in that space of you are the one that's going to be getting in your way. And if you can remove yourself, you can actually be present in the world in a way that provides your gifts to others. And I think that is another piece about awakening. Because it's not about what you get out of the world, it's what you give in the world.
Yes, I think that's huge.
How you show up for people.
Yep. I think that's a huge conversation to that.
Yeah, and I think it's a really, really wonderful place to be, because then you can be like, okay, cool, I get it. And you're present, and the one thing too is what you don't do is you're not attached to outcomes. So if somebody says to you like, sorry, it's good. This is a depressing example. The relationship is over. I know, but it's a good example, because then you can say, okay, cool, I get it. Because then it allows you to evaluate your feelings. Like, oh, I'm feeling disconnected, or I feel sad. Why am I feeling sad? You get to go into the darkness and to come out with an understanding that takes you away from whatever your attachment was. So if you had imagined in your head some grand future, which a lot of people do, then once they go through that, you're like, okay, well, I was attached to that as an outcome.
Yeah, fantasy brain. That's what I call that.
Fantasy brain.
Yeah, fantasy brain.
I want to go there. I love fantasy brain.
But I think you're right, though. If you're attached to an outcome and you believe that's the way it's going to go, you can put good vibrations out there. And that's part, I think, part of spirituality is you put good vibes out. But I also think that you have to be realistic,
dude,
of what's going on, because you get into fantasy brain. I know as a female, I can meet a guy or meet anybody, and then I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be this, and then it's going to turn into this, and then it's going to turn into that. It's great to put good intentions out there, but I have to be realistic when I wake up every day to make sure that I'm living my life accordingly, so I could make money and do things rather than be like, tomorrow, you know, I'm going to be living this amazing life somewhere else. Like, it doesn't work like that all the time, but that's okay. But that's like the fantasy brain. When you check your fantasy brain, I think that's part of alignment with spirituality. It's starting to have mindfulness.
Mindfulness is a huge part of it.
Yes, I think that's a big part of spirituality. But I think everyone can have mindfulness in religion, because I think religion gives people mindfulness too.
There's a very deep tie. I said it at the beginning. Yeah. I still say it now. I think there's a deep tie between spirituality and religion. I don't think it's as clear cut as all that. It's just spirituality kind of ties into other, there's some other elements, ritualistic elements.
Yeah.
Whether it's a and it's practices and ceremonies. Those are some of the vernacular in that space. It's about meditation. You can have a mindfulness practice. You can have a language practice. You can have ceremonies.
I honestly think then we had other pop gurus who started this. You know, they are the counterculture gurus that started this. So Deepak Chopra is, yep. He is one of them in the counterculture movement. Would you say Gandhi is one too? Of those counterculture, looking at spirituality, coming as one. I think they're the ones that we know Deepak Chopra helped push it into mainstream.
Gandhi unified a nation.
Yeah.
He did it through peaceful protest. He had a commitment to a greater good, which I think is interesting about Gandhi. Deepak Chopra inspired others to think about mindfulness, kindness, and connecting with others in a different way. I'm going to throw out one out there for you. Madonna.
Yes. Well, she's on the religious side. She's a Kabbalist, or people say Kabbalah, but another way to say it is Kabbalist. So she's part of Kabbalah. And that was huge in this. I don't remember. I think it was like early 2000s, but it was a massive time for Hollywood and everyone talking about spirituality and religion.
Ray of Light
because,
album.
Well, Kabbalah is not a religion. It's supposed to be a science.
The entire Ray of Light album is an homage to her Kabbalism. Even before that, Madonna was very famous for knowing. Don't think. No, that was her very famous H&M ad. Whenever she had her line at H&M, there's a line in it I never forgot where she's playing the role of teacher or professor. And there's a girl. She's like, what is the answer to this? And the girl says, I think the answer is. Ugh. And Madonna slaps her ruler down on the table. She goes, don't think. No.
Yes.
And that is your lesson for
powerful
life. If you don't take anything else from this show, don't second guess yourself. Don't ever question yourself. Just know what you're doing for yourself is right. Don't regret anything that you did in the past. Know that you did it because that was the right thing to do in the past. Don't be attached to outcomes, because then you're living in a false hope. Sorry, hard truth right there, but it's true. Be mindful with your words. Speak up about yourself. Be honest of who you are. Don't be down yourself. See the potential within yourself. See the potential in others, and understand everybody is coming from a good place, even if somebody has a different opinion than yours.
Amen. Well, honestly, we had a really, really great time talking to Matt. Matt had some really great ideas about spirituality. I love that he was really open to talk about his experiences and then what he's gone through. So I'm happy that he got to sit with us, and he was really lovely. And we got to see this really great YouTuber that's done some great things now shift into this wonderful spiritual context as well, too.
He gave us a lot of food for thought, and he opened up a really big conversation.
Yes. And people can see that other side of Matt, which I think is really nice.
And I think it's a really beautiful side to him, because he himself has talked about, like, he is still very, like, he is religious. He'd made a mention of that. And he still has this really strong spiritual side that's allowing him to access joy in his life in a different way and to share that with others. And I think that's a really powerful piece that I took from it and from him. So I'm like, yo, man, go get it. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Santoro.
We're proud of you, Santoro.
Turn up.
Turn up. Until our next episode of I'll Pop Repeat.
Bye-bye. We bid you a fond adieu.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you.